Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. I believe we're at episode 68, since we do these so frequently. I've lost count. I'm actually in great company today. I have Jared, who's back from the dead, and he has quite a story to tell us, apparently.
No, I don't have quite a story to tell you. Just was going to give everyone a little bit of an update of where I have been. When is the last time, Stephen, that we actually did a podcast? Do you know?
Like what? Yeah, it was our Game of the Year show, and it's, I think it was in January, like the very beginning of January.
Okay, so I most likely, if I didn't say it at that point, then it would have most likely been right at the end of, or right at the beginning of one of our other episodes, but whatever. So where I work, there was basically the director left. Okay, so the director left, and that put a lot of extra responsibilities on our little like management committee that we had. There was five of us, and when he left, we went down to four, and I was already working on a lot of big projects, you know, to get students back and stuff like that. And anyways, in February, another one, like basically like the second highest ranking person left. So then we were down to three, and I got a lot of responsibility that was essentially put on my shoulders. And no joke when I say this, but I basically have two full-time jobs right now of about like 7 to 8 hours each, and I'm not exaggerating at all. So if you do the math, you can see that basically I'm working between 14 and 16 hours a day. That doesn't leave very much time for anything. I basically have just almost been like living at work these days. It's finally starting a little bit to, I don't want to say it's calming down. It's not calming down, but it's starting to normalize. I think it would be a good word. Like, I'm just getting used to it. I've created a lot of operational efficiencies, so it means I'm able to like manage my time a lot better than I was before. But I haven't played a console game, I don't think, since, I might be wrong, but because Steven's son loves using my profile on PlayStation, so I have no idea what the last game I played was, but I looked and I think it was Spider-Man was the last, like the remastered Spider-Man was the last PlayStation game I played. I really want to play the new Ratchet & Clank. It looks like awesome from what I see. Switch, goodness, I don't even know. I really don't know. But there was one thing that Ahmed actually got me into, which is kind of cool, believe it or not. So my time has been, like I said, has been like non-existent. So I've tried to get into some mobile games, and that didn't really work. Just for whatever reason, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of these, like, I don't know, I don't even know what you would call it, but like, just, they feel like quick, like, cash grab type things, and I know if you're a mobile fan, that's blasphemous and all of this, but I think I'm just like, I'm too much of like a traditionalist. Like, I like my games to be a certain way, if that makes sense. So anyways, Ahmed got me into a game that I barely remember hearing about. He talks to me on WhatsApp, frequently, like maybe every other day. And unlike Steven, he doesn't just ditch me. And anyways, he introduced me to a game called Fantasian, and it's the latest game by the creator of Final Fantasy, so Sakaguchi, I think that's his last name. And the guy's name escapes me now, but the guy that did, what is it, Nobu, how do you pronounce his name? The orchestrator there?
you're asking me. Come on. The guy who taught Wanda was Wakanda.
Yeah, WandaVision is Wakanda, of course. Anyways, I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. I just can't remember. I'm kind of exhausted, but whatever. It's probably going to be those two guys, the last game they ever make. And just because they were both talking about retiring, and the orchestrator, his health isn't doing so well. And so anyways, so I was like, you know what, I'll give this a go. And I actually ended up loving it. Total clock in time was something like 16 hours. I mean, over like a month and a half, something like that, which still really surprised me. But I was playing, like, you know, on the bus to work and stuff like that. And I actually picked up a device, and this is what has to do with Nintendo. It's called the Backbone. And believe it or not, I saw this by, and I can't remember his name now. You know, everyone calls him Shu from PlayStation. I think it's Shuhide or something like that.
Yeah, Yoshida, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. So, and God, I'm so sorry. Like, this is terrible. Like, just butchering these people's names. But he posted a picture of the Backbone. And the Backbone basically makes your iPhone a Switch. Literally. Like, it has the exact same sort of look, feel, everything. And I saw that and I was like, you know, like, that actually looks good. And then I started, like, you know, reading some reviews and stuff. And people were like, it's absolutely superb because it has its own interface that communicates with the iPhone. And yes, it's exclusive to iPhone. And what's really neat is it has its own storefront that you can load your games and stuff. And it's all legal. It's like you install a game from the App Store like you normally would. But you can then tell this app that, oh, Fantasian is a video game. So it adds it to your library. And then when you tap on it, you can use full controls right from the get-go. You don't need to set anything. And then it plays exactly like a console role-playing game. And what's so cool with this game, and I truly hope it comes to Switch, I really, really do, is it's like your traditional JRPG, right? So you have random encounters, the guy has amnesia, but it's very unique in two very distinct ways. The first one is that as you run around the playing field, you have like, I don't remember what it's called, but there's like a device that your character has that fills up with random encounters. So you don't need to fight every single random encounter. There's like a gauge, let's say, and it can store 20 enemies. So let's say in a typical battle, there's, say, three enemies, right? So that's quite a few, right? That's quite a few random encounters that you can skip, and then you can purge this device by just, you know, activating it with either a tap or a button, depending on how you're playing the game. And then you fight every monster in one giant battle with them all on the screen at the exact same time. And you can do all kinds of, like, really crazy, like, attacks that will hit, like, more than one enemy at a time. And, like, just, like, all kinds of crazy stuff. And the second element that's really unique with this game is that it was actually, the environments are all actually dioramas. Do you know what a diorama is?
Maybe. Just refresh my memory.
Okay. It's like, it's, think of it like a miniature model that is made in real life, okay? Like, you actually make it where it's got trees or stones or like little homes and stuff, and you use like tweezers to get it looking, you know, just so. And because the game was designed like that, and apparently there was something like 200 dioramas that were made for this particular game, and then high resolution pictures were taken of it in order to incorporate that into the game, and then the digital characters are like superimposed over those pictures. All this to say is it looks breathtaking and it looks wholly unique. Like, it doesn't look like any other game I've played before because the entire game is made up of these little dioramas. And and I finished the game and I was just like, wow, it just totally blew me away. It was an excellent, excellent game. And then Ahmed actually said, hey, Jared, well, if you enjoyed that and you're willing to give another game a chance, which I just haven't had a chance yet, Platinum Games just released another like mobile game that you can use this Backbone device on. And then it plays like I think it's like a Devil May Cry type of like action game type thing that's supposed to be absolutely excellent. And what's interesting is all of these games are exclusive to Apple Arcade. And the only reason I even tried any of this is because I subscribed to Apple One just for like the music service, the disc service, the fitness program, and all that kind of stuff. So it cost me nothing. So these games literally cost me nothing except for the subscription to Apple Arcade, which I mean, technically I pay for, but it's included in my Apple One subscription. So that's it. That's all I've got. The rest of the podcast is all on you.
Perfect. So you're playing some mobile stuff, I guess, on the bus and stuff. So
one game.
Yeah, one game. That's all. You've never even tried the Crown Tundra, right? That came out in November.
Nope.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. So for me, basically all I've been doing is playing various types of Pokemon games. So nothing really has changed since then. I want to talk about a few stories because I've been playing Pokemon White recently. I've started a Nuzlocke of it, and by the third gym, my Nuzlocke was already over. I got the gym leader destroyed my entire team there, and my Nuzlocke was over. So then I just continued the playthrough under normal rules, and I'm now on the road, victory road to the Elite Four, and I have just a few things to do before. But the reason I was doing that is I'm kind of like on a little quest to complete every single version of the mainline Pokemon games. So White was the only one of Gen 5 I've never completed. I've done Black 2, White 2, but I've never done White. And I recently finished Pokemon Fire Red, which I had never done before. I had only done Leaf Green. So now I only had a few more. I've never done Ruby. I've never done Diamond. And I still need to finish Let's Go Pikachu at some point, which is the one I'm looking forward to less for some reason. But something funny happened. I don't know if you remember this. When I was playing Pokemon Fire Red, I thought I'd finally try that Game Boy you bought me several years ago. And it was pretty good. It works very well, and it has a backlight and everything. It looks cool. Like I'm glad I finally gave it a shot. But I actually found my very first shiny, full odds shiny in the wild while I was playing that game. It was so random. It was in the Viridian Forest. It was just a Caterpie. So as soon as I saw that golden Caterpie, because when the shadow of the Pokemon appears, you can kind of tell what color they are, even though it's a black shadow. And I was like, no way, is this really a shiny? And it was. And the odds in that game are like 1 in 8,000. I don't remember. I showed it to you back then. So I actually found my very first. I've been playing this series since 98. And of course, there was no shinies in the first generation. But still, I couldn't believe it took me that long. It was just something amazing. And then I decided to transfer it all the way up to Sword and Shield. But doing so, I decided to go look in all the games I had on the Game Boy Advance. So I had Sapphire, Emerald, and Leaf Green. And those, I just took a quick look. And what did you know? I actually found a shiny Sandshrew in my copy of Leaf Green. So from all these years, I've been telling you and everybody complaining that I've never found a full odd random encounter shiny. I was lying to you, all of you, because I had a Sandshrew in that copy. It was just, and I know it's caught by me because it had my OT number and was just boxed, because back then I didn't really care about shinies, but I did know it was a shiny because I went to the effort of catching it, and I already had another Sandshrew in my boxes, and that those were the only duplicate Pokemon, so I must have known it was a shiny, decided to caught it, and forgot about it for all these years. So I transferred that one all the way to Sword. So it was just... I should probably do the same for all my DS games, but I know I checked those like when Pokemon Bank was released like many, many years ago, and when Home was released again, when we did that thing, when we completed our decks and everything. So I did have one more shiny in there, so I thought that was kind of funny. That, but yeah, I'm trying to complete the full version of the game. So I'm only missing, Ruby, and like I said, Diamond, and also Let's Go Pikachu. Every other single version I've completed at least once. So that's a little side quest I've given myself to pass the time, because I don't know, for some reason I'm not really interested in other games right now and other series. I'm just with the kids, when the kids are here, I don't have much much time. They basically, when you see somebody playing on my Switch or on the PlayStation, it's usually Elliot or Soka playing. It's not me. Like the Elliot will be playing Mario Maker or Super Meat Boy or Minecraft. He's really big into Minecraft lately, or Burnout Paradise and stuff like that. And it's always him playing. And when you see someone playing Pokemon, that's me. That's about it. So I did try Monster Hunter Rise when it came out. I believe that came out. Was it at the end of February or the end of March? Yeah, probably the end of March. I don't remember. It doesn't really matter. But I loved it. I played it for like 17 hours almost straight in 3 days. And then I shut it down and never touched it again. And it's Perfect. Been like a month. And I haven't even gone back to it. I really liked it. But for some reason, I was finding it a bit too repetitive. And I know that'll be blasphemous for Monster Hunter fans. And that's fine. I finally saw what the appeal of this game was, and it's a lot of fun. But for me, like, there was two things: the fact that there was a lot of repetitiveness, and the other one was they've introduced dungeon tower defense games, like Plants versus Zombies and that type of stuff. They've introduced a mode called Rampage. And I just detest that mode. I don't like dungeon tower defense games. I don't know why. They're not for me. And it's an important part of the game later on. And I don't know. It just turned me off. And then I never went back to the game. Maybe I will one day. But it's just, I don't know. It turned me off. And that was it for that. And recently, there's been tons of new promoted raid den events in Pokemon Sword. Like, they're doing at least once a month. They're doing promoted shiny events, so I'm always looking forward to those and doing some VGC stuff, making sure I get to max rank battle every month. And just this past Friday, well, actually it was Thursday for me because I bought the Australian version on the eShop. New Pokemon Snap was released, and I was really curious about that game because I'm a big fan of the original Pokemon Snap on the Nintendo 64. Did you ever get a chance to play that one?
No.
It was a perfect rental. Like I've always described it, I rented it at first, multiple times actually, and then I ended up buying it later. But it was Nintendo actually had, or Pokemon Company, whoever you want to say, had a deal with Blockbuster back in the day, where they had the specific Blockbuster machines in the stores where you could go out and print out your pictures. I never did that because obviously there was no Blockbuster here, but it was pretty cool and was a very, very amazing game. It just was very short. Like, you could 100% that game in like 4 to 5 hours easily. So for the asking price, was a bit too much. Pretty much I also, and most people, thought that new Pokemon Snap would be a similar thing. So many people were wondering if it's not worth this, the $60 that it's asking for. But I'm now like 9 hours in, and I'm not even done with the main game. I haven't even seen the credits. And I've heard that to 100% that game, it will take about like 40 to 50 hours. So it's really different than the other one. There's a lot more content into that game. It looks beautiful. You can tell it's not a Game Freak made game. This was made by Namco Bandai, the same team who made the Pokken Tournament. And it looks gorgeous. And you can see it runs great. So yeah, it's... If you're still on the fence on new Pokemon Snap, I'd say there's a demo maybe I think there's a demo. Try it out, but it's really worth it. Like, it's not like the old N64 game. There's a lot more than... it takes about, I think, 12 to 15 hours to reach the credits. And then if you want to complete the Pokédex, it's another 12 hours. And then if you want to get a shot of every Pokemon in each of their four poses and whatnot, maybe get the Platinum photos... Like, there's tons and tons and tons of gameplay in here. So, yeah, new Pokemon Snap. Really impressed by it so far. I'm going to keep going, keep playing that. Right until, I'm guessing, until the Pokemon games get released in November, which are the Diamond and Pearl remakes, which brings me to my next subject. I think you've seen the Pokemon Direct, or whatever it was called, when they announced these games Pokemon, what's the name of that game? Arceus Legends?
Yeah. I saw all of that. I don't know if it's Legends, but anyways, whatever.
It bothers me. I'll Google it quickly while you talk.
Because it ended with it. Isn't it like Pokemon Legends Arceus?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Pokemon Legends Arceus. It's actually pronounced Arceus now, which is weird because this Pokemon has had many official names or way to pronounce that name in the past. Like, I always thought it was Arceus before, and then there was an app, and in that app it was pronounced Arceus. And since then, I've always pronounced it Arceus. And even, have you seen Detective Pikachu?
Yeah.
And in that movie, Ryan Reynolds says, for the love of Arceus. He says that. So back then, they were still pronouncing it Arceus, and now they're back to pronouncing it Arceus, which is weird because Pokemon is international. All these Pokemon have different names, like Charmander in French, I believe, is Dracofeu. So they all have different names. I don't know why they keep changing some of these pronunciations, because I have to get used to it. For me, it's always been Arceus, but I guess it's Arceus now. So it's going to be Arceus forever, obviously, because it has its own game. But yeah, they've announced these two games. So the Diamond and Pearl remakes are called Shining Diamond and Brilliant Pearl, or maybe it's the reversed, I don't remember. And they're basically, I think they're traditional, like, really, what's the word I'm looking for when something is true to the original? Loyal or whatever remakes of these games. Like, I don't think there's going to be much change to them. I think it's pretty much a one with new Shibi-like graphics. Like, they're definitely not using the Sword and Shield engine. They're going another direction, and they're made by a different company. I think it... What's the name of that company? Like, they haven't made much stuff before. I think they made Pokemon Home, which is not really a game. It's more of a service. So it's going to be something new. I'm going to play these games. Like, you know, I play every Pokemon game, and it's made for me. It's my style of game. It's what I like to do. So I'm sure I'm going to enjoy them. But I was sadly a bit disappointed when this was announced. I was hoping for the remakes to have, like, to use the Sword and Shield engine. I don't know why. I'm not typically a graphics person usually, but I was hoping for full-on remakes. But I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get, because this is not worked by the main team, we're probably going to get Gen 9 in 2023. I don't think we're going to get it in 2022, but who knows? So those games are going to be there soon in November, so I'm not sure if by then you're still going to be working two jobs. Maybe you'll get a third job by then too.
Nice. I hope so.
So you don't have so much spare time, but what do you think about those remakes?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much in line with you. I was a little surprised. I'm curious to see, like, how it all plays out, but I'm a little surprised. I thought, like, I'm not the pro here, right? But just in line with what I've seen, right? Like, when we played Let's Go, right? When the next when Pokemon Sword and Shield came out, it felt like an evolution, right, of Let's Go, or am I crazy?
I think Let's Go is you're right, because that's the thing, though. Some of the battles in the new remakes, they actually look like the Let's Go engine. It's weird. They look similar to Let's Go, but overworld doesn't.
So that's just it, right? Like, so I thought they were going to take, like, a similar type of approach, is all I was going to say. Like, I thought it was just going to be basically like an evolution of what we have. So I was a little surprised to see that. And I think you texted me, didn't you, or something? And told me that you were a little surprised or whatever, and because I know I was late. I didn't watch it, like, the day of. I had to watch it, like, maybe a week later or something like that. And I commented to you that, like, yeah, me too. I was a little bit surprised by the approach. But, I mean, like, whatever. We'll see. I really hope, like, joking aside, I really hope I better not have a third job. But I'm hoping that... Like, seriously, I just want to be able to come back to my place and chill. I haven't been able to do that in forever. Like, just doing this is going to cost me big time And I'm not even going to be the one to put this together. We're going to give this to Tim to put together, because otherwise it'll come out in 14 years from now.
Is Tim aware?
No, Tim doesn't know, but
he'll know soon enough.
Yeah, yeah. Is he still posting videos every day?
Not every day, but yeah, he still posts videos like maybe once or twice a week. Sometimes he skips a week because he's really not. He's not as worse as you, but he's not reliable.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. No, but when are we going to get more news on all of these games? And like, do you think
that's the thing. Right now, you would be surprised to know, but we're actually in the Pokemon 25th anniversary year, and they're badly handling it. And it's not surprising, because even Sword and Shield, like, we have these fantastic promoted dens every month, sometimes twice a month, of like cool opportunities to get a shiny Pokemon, and they're very fun, and you can play them with friends. Like, this is something you and I used to do when you weren't an asshole before. And yes, they don't promote them. Like, you find out about them the minute they drop. And they always drop on a Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and they end Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Instead of, like, on the Monday, on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday, or even on the Thursday, meaning they have a Twitter account. Just say, hey, Pokemon fans, this weekend look forward to blah, 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 this event for your chance to catch a brand new shiny Tauros with your friends and family and whatever you want. Just promote it. It will be cool. It will maybe sell a few more copies of the game. But no, they don't. They don't say nothing. And I find out about it the minute it drops, because Cerebi posts it or somebody on YouTube posts it. They don't tell us. They don't give us any updates. And a lot of people, maybe during the weekends, don't play their game. Maybe they're out, whatever, doing activities when they're off, and then they come back and they realize they've just missed the chance to get a shiny Pokemon because they weren't upgraded. They weren't like keep up to date, because the only thing you need to do is connect to internet and then get the wild area news, and at least when you come back, as long as you don't connect online, you can have a chance to get it on your own pace. But they don't promote it at all. And now with the 25th anniversary, I was hoping, like, you remember in 2016 when Pokemon Go was announced and Pokemon Sun and Moon was announced, we got trailers almost on a weekly basis of Pokemon Sun and Moon, and that was the 20th anniversary. And now we're in the 25th, and since that trailer dropped with the news about those two games, we haven't had nothing. And now new Pokemon Snap was just released this weekend, and they did a Pokemon Sword and Shield Max Raid then at the same time for some reason. It's like they're not very good at promoting a game like Pokemon, which has like a 20 million sold copies. So it has a huge install base. They could easily keep it more alive by just Twittering or YouTubing or whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure they would attract more people that way and maybe sell a few extra copies of the game. But no, I guess that's rocket science to them. Like, they're not very good at the whole communicating thing.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, I just find, honestly, like, Nintendo as a whole kind of sucks at celebrating their franchises sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. they do a good job.
Just to be clear, like, though, this is more of a Pokemon company issue, but yeah, there's a similar problem with Nintendo.
No, but yeah, correct. But since it's a fanboys, you know, I'm gonna bury Nintendo on this. Like, I still get very surprised sometimes by some of the lack of celebration, even if you don't release a video game, right? Like, even if you can't do that for whatever reason, I still find it weird. Like, you know, like, I understand, like, if we take Metroid, right? I understand that is a low-selling series for them, but it's still part of your heritage, you know? Same as F-Zero. You haven't had an F-Zero in years and years and years. Like, I don't think it would be asking too much to ask the graphics, you know, the...
Yeah. Say, there's, like, an update on F-Zero, by the way. They said, they were asked about F-Zero recently. They said, it's still, they're still aware, it's still in the plans, but they're waiting for something new. For a new idea.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, sure.
But with Mario Kart, we're now at 8 Mario Karts, and there's not that much new stuff, but they still get They still release them, but apparently F-Zero needs something new.
Yeah, I don't know. And you know, like I've spent most of my career like looking at like the business side of different, you know, elements and different things, and I don't quite understand Nintendo in their business, you know, like strategy. I don't understand. I mean, hardware is one thing. They can be creative. They can be this, that, and the other thing. But I do find it very, very perplexing sometimes how it would take nothing to go down to the marketing department, go to the graphics people and say, hey, guys, we want to put together a little YouTube video celebrating Kid Icarus.
Yeah, this is something also like kind of new. Like the Pokemon Company has had this kind of success for a while, and they've always did this. Like it's been frustrated. Like they release a brand new game, it sells millions and millions of copies, and then they barely talk about it. But Nintendo, like, yeah, they have had some success in the Wii era, the Wii U, know the 3DS. They've had success, but not to this degree. Like Zelda have sold over 20 million copies. They've kept supporting that game to their credit and released DLC and whatnot and talked about it and released like YouTube stuff here and there. But with like a game like Animal Crossing, which is a game that's kind of like a continuous service. That's a game that you can easily upgrade and give contents, and you don't really need to. But when that game has sold 30 million copies, 30 million, that game, and it's so easy to just make some little updates, and now we're a year has passed since that game has been done, and the updates that they make are the same stuff as last year. Like, yep. Very, very little new stuff in it. And I'm like, this game has sold 30 million copies and it's continuing, it's still selling today. Reward your fans and you'll get even more fans. And this is the perfect game to do so because it has such a huge fan base. And Nintendo are like, there's two options here. Either they were extremely surprised by the number of copies sold, which like makes sense. Like, New Leaf sold 13 million, so... But everything on Switch, like the sales, except for Mario Maker 2, the sales are so much bigger than they used to be. Even Zelda was a huge seller before, now it's a 20 million seller. So like, it's frustrating for me because Animal Crossing, I've completed the museum. I'm only checking in every week, every day for when Red is there. And when I see Red once every 2 weeks, I don't play until the next week starts over because that's the only thing I'm missing is the paintings. Like, at least if you're not going to do more new updates, at least bring this stuff that's missing from New Leaf. Like, it's frustrating because it doesn't look like they're going to bother. I think they're just going to say, here's the new update for this month, and it's Bunny Day again, which we've already played. It's like, whatever, man, come on. It's sold 30 million copies. It's probably going to reach 40 million. Just give us an update.
Yeah, this is something that has always, like, I'm on their financial website now. It was updated last, basically right before the new year, so December 31st, and Animal Crossing is at 31.18. This, you know, like, we have January, February, March, April, May, you know, like, can you imagine what that's up to now? And I don't know, I just find, I mean, clearly the company is doing something right, obviously. It's just that whenever I analyze this organization from a standard business sort of evaluation, I'm always left perplexed at how I just don't find they do a great job celebrating the characters they have. And people for years have called them the Disney of video games. And it's a fair analogy in a lot of different ways. It's a fair comparison. But like, When Mickey Mouse turns 100, you know, you're going to be damn sure you're going to know about that. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to change their website. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. And they have so many things for, like, Goofy and Donald Duck and everything whenever they hit, like, milestones. They don't do it every 5 years. But anytime they hit, like, those major milestones, they put out all kinds of different things. And they really, like, celebrate the... their heritage, you know, like how they got to the place that they're at and so on. And I just find with Nintendo, it's like, especially today, you don't need to release an F-Zero. And I know we're talking about Pokemon and all that. I know that. But I still find it like, I don't know. It's, you know, like when Dragon Quest, when they announce a new numbered Dragon Quest, they always do the same thing, right? And there's something about that. Like, there's just something about the heritage and the honoring what came before. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, people, it's, they always do what's called like a logo reveal. So they'll show no gameplay footage, no nothing. They'll show like 1986, 1985, 1982, whatever it was, like when the first one came out, and they show you a little bit of gameplay. Then it like swooshes off. They show the next year, and they show Dragon Quest II, and it swooshes off, and they keep going all the way, like in this case, like up to Dragon Quest XI, and then like you'll hear the overture music playing, and they'll show you the logo for Dragon Quest XII, and that's it. And you know that that will happen, and you know that 6 months later, whatever it is, you'll start to see the first screenshots or the first, you know, videos or whatever of it. But they always celebrate what came before. And I've always found Nintendo was just not very good at that when the internet age arrived. Because like I say, for like F-Zero, would it really be that much work to put together a video tribute to F-Zero? Like, is that really asking for so much? I don't get it.
Yeah, and it could, I'm sure there's many developers or indie developers out there that would love to make an F-Zero game for Nintendo. Like, just like outsource them. Like even what I was thinking about that, like yesterday or the day before, like when NT Creates made Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10, I would love if Nintendo, and that would never happen, would just be like, hey, Indie Creates, how about you make a true sequel to Super Mario World, like a true one, like not that Yoshi's Island game, which many people like, but a true sequel to Super Mario World. Just do it and use the physics from Mario Maker, and man, I would love to have that. I'm sure it would never happen, but that's like all kinds of cool stuff they could use and still work on their own stuff that they want to make. But like, I'm sure there's many developers out there that would love a crack at these, at this stuff, and it would give them a name, and then they could go on and do their own stuff. And I don't know, there's a lot of opportunities there for Nintendo, of course, to make better use of their franchise or their legacy.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. Like, where the hell is Metroid? We've been saying this forever. Like, I'm down for a new 2D Metroid. Give it to the guy that made Axiom Verge, you know? Like, give him a team and say, hey, man, we'd love to see what you could come up with a Metroid game. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. And especially now with the Switch's unparalleled success, like, now is the time to do this. It's not the time to do this if they make, like, you know, Wii U 2 or something like that. Like, at those points, you're like, oh, crap, you know, like, we need to do whatever we can to stay afloat. But it's like, now, I swear, they could release a game with the poop emoji and it'll still sell, like, 10 million units. Like, I don't know. I'm really perplexed by what they're doing.
And the cat is back.
Yep, he's saying, hello, you monsters.
Yeah, so I had something else I wanted to swing by you. We know, you know, that the PlayStation Vita and the PlayStation 3 stores were supposed to shut down this summer. I think when it was June and the Vita was in August. And Sony got in so much like bad press out of this that they've reversed the decision. And now these stores will stay open for the near future. We probably know that at some point they will end, but I was wondering, since this is a Nintendo fanboys, when do you think Nintendo will close down the Wii U shop and the 3DS shop? And I have some more info for you right now, because the Wii shop and the DS shop were both closed in May of 2014, and that was 2 years after the Wii U's launch and 3 years after the 3DS launch. We're now 4 years into the Switch life cycle, which is the successor to the Wii U in a way, the 3DS also. So that's a year more, that's 2 years more than the Wii got and 3 years more than the original DS got in terms of the its eShop life. And there's a few other factors. Like Nintendo, there are still Wii U eShop releases to this day. Like there are fewer than before, but there's still like maybe like 5 or 6 games every year released, if not more, on the Wii U eShop. And then 3DS, it's a bit more than that, but there are still some activity in there. And Nintendo is still, like, from time to time, producing Nintendo 3DS cartridges to Amazon and stuff like that. You can see sometimes they have new stock. It's not as often. They have stopped making new 3DS systems and stuff like that. The Wii U was discontinued, I believe, in 2017 or 2018. So that's done in now. But I'm wondering, do you still see these shops open for the near future, or will Nintendo pull the plug soon?
We live in cancel culture, right? Like, it's just what it is. So, like, if you say something wrong, like, your whole life can basically be, you know, like, destroyed. So what happened with Sony, I knew that was going to happen. If Nintendo did it today, I can see the exact same thing happening. More on the 3DS side than on the, Wii U side. But, like I said, we live in a very weird time now, where, you know, I could see people rioting in the streets over some of this stuff. But the truth is, the way that these platforms are designed, part of me wishes that Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft would just release a Steam-like client where you just keep it forever.
Like, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, I believe PS5, the PS4 store is on the PS5, right? I think so. I think you can buy PS4 games on the PS5. You have a PS5, you should know, but I think it is. And I think Microsoft is on that system because they have Game Pass where there's Xbox One games on there and maybe 360 games as well. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. And even original Xbox games. So I think Xbox, Microsoft and Sony are on that. Like, they know, like, they should make a platform where, like, their games are on there forever until they, like, maybe Sony one day goes bankrupt and disappears. Like, unless that happens, like, I think Sony plans to keep their games on, and that's the smart thing, and that's the way it should have been done. But back then, like, this is new, like, digital was new back then, so they probably did not think about this, but I doubt Nintendo is on that boat. Like, I doubt they are building something like the Switch games right now. My hope is that whenever there's a Switch 2, if that happens, if they choose to go that direction, I doubt that the games on the Switch will be on there. And that's, like, the problem with the Wii U and the 3DS is that most of the games on there have specific requirements. Like, the 3DS has 2 screens. The 3D, which is not necessarily play, but the 2 screens is for most games. The Wii had most of the games on the Wii U needed the gamepad. Like, I'm sure there are workarounds for that, but they would need to reprogram all these games in specific ways to make them available. But I hope that they're working on keeping that eShop, upgrading it, and whenever they release new hardware, just bring everything over so that everything is always available. That would be nice. I think that's what Sony and Microsoft are working on. But I was wondering.
For me though, dude, like, what I don't understand is, if you have a client, right? If you have a client online, all of these devices allow some form of external storage. All of them, including the DS, the 3DS, all of them. So there's no excuse. Like, for me, there's literally no excuse, because you don't need to reprogram. You don't need to do jack shit. You just have your PC store, close the store on the system itself, but allow the person to download the games to your SD card or hard drive or whatever it is. And there you go. Like, I, I, I don't get it. Like, to me, it whenever they announce any of them, all the way back to the Wii and the PSP, I don't understand why they're closing any of these stores, because you just have the online portal, which all of them were based on HTML anyways.
Yeah, so I have maybe an answer for you, because I was on board. Like, I didn't understand why just keep them on. By the way, for those not familiar, like the PS3 and PS Vita stores that were going to close down, they were not going to let you buy new games, but they were going to let you re-download the games you already had for the foreseeable future. So that was at least a positive. But from what I've gathered, and that this was, I don't know if you still listen to Secret Symbols from time to time, but Colin put it this way, that, like, let's say on the PS3, some games on the PS3 probably get like 4 to 5 purchases a year, and if that, like, these are so old, and Sony has to cut a check to some of these companies for, like, it's probably a clerical decision that these stores, like, some of these probably people that they need to pay probably don't even make games anymore, whatever. It's probably complicated for them to make a check for, like, I don't know, $9.99, like, once a year to somebody and stuff like that. It's probably like it saves them time. It's probably not even worth it for most of these games for Sony to keep them on a platform. If they were, that was his explanation or his theory on why they would want to close down, like, these legacy shops. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, I could understand that. But again, I'll go back to Steam. Their games on Steam from 1996. Like, how is Valve doing?
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know, man. Like, it's just every excuse that
But is it set up, maybe it's set up on Steam differently. I don't know. Like, when you put a game you have your account and the money is deposited. Like, maybe Steam takes, I'm sure Steam takes a smaller cut than Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft does. But is it directly deposited? Whatever. Maybe you need to be set up in a way. I don't know.
No, maybe. It's just like, because that's the thing that like gets me. And listen, like, I'm not a programmer, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe everything I'm saying is full of crap. It's just, Steam was there before all of these, before Xbox Live, before anything on console. So why wouldn't you copy what's already there? Like, this is always what's bothered me with all of this, like, subject, has been like, it's not like, you know, hey, Steven, we gotta figure this out, we gotta reinvent the wheel. It's like, well, what the hell is, what are they doing? You know, and what, because it's not proprietary. They don't own the rights to online sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd find out, like, how are they doing it? And then see, like, okay, is this something that we could potentially, you know, copy or whatever?
I think that Steam has probably a lot less moderation than Nintendo and Sony does, right? I think it's probably way easier to release a game on that storefront. And there's probably a lot more garbage in that storefront, right?
No, yeah, and maybe that's it. Dude, maybe that's it, right? Because maybe it's as simple as that.
Maybe they don't, like, I don't know. Maybe they don't, like, moderate it as much, or they just leave it open for everybody. I don't know. But, yeah, they need to figure out something so that these games keep, like, they don't have to make a new eShop every single time they release a new system. Yeah. But, yeah, what do you think? Do you think the Wii U is almost done? Do you think they pull the plug soon? Or
I do. Yeah, I do. Wii U, yes, I think they do, just because, like, I think Nintendo wants the world to forget about this. So that
because I'm kind of surprised it's still on, because, like, Wii was dead after 2 years. Like, they closed down that shop, and that thing sold like 100 million units. The Wii U has like 13 million or 60 million, whatever it is. And it's still, like, there's still games getting released on there, and you can still, still works. Yeah, and for some reason, like, there's still like 3 games on that system I still haven't bought that I want to download if they ever announce it. But the thing that with Sony, though, is that they announced it and they didn't give anybody a heads up. So even people that were working on games for the Vita didn't know. So yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that was really bad. But no, with Nintendo, I mean, like, I'm surprised. For the Wii U, I'm very surprised. The 3DS, I'm not as surprised because you can still buy that, can't you?
Yeah, you can still buy 3DS. I don't know if you can still buy them. Because they don't, they're not making them anymore.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're making 3DS systems anymore. I'm not sure. Oh, wow. Don't quote me on that. But like I said...
Well, too late. I just did.
Yeah. But there's still new games getting released for that system. But yeah, I don't know. Nintendo has not made a game for the 3DS in, I think, 2 years now. Or
come on, man. What do you mean? That's their third platform.
So yeah, but the day will be very sad for me because like that means Pokemon Bank will be lost forever. Like that's what I like right now. Pokemon Bank, you can bring Pokemon over from the first games all the way to now. The day they shut down the 3DS, I hope they have a solution for just at least Pokemon Bank so we can still do that because it's an integral part of Pokemon Home, I believe. But yeah, that would be sad the day that the 3DS eShop dies for me. But on the Wii U, I still need to buy... There's three games in there that I never bought. I never bought Earthbound Origins, which is the only way to play the first Mother game in English without like pirating or ROM hacks or whatever. Nintendo actually released an official version of that game on the Wii U eShop. I never bought it, but I need to buy it before. And I also never bought what's the game? It's Project Zero in Japan, but here a Fatal Frame. There's a Fatal Frame Wii U game.
Oh yes,
that was never released here. Only Nintendo actually released it, published it, but only on the eShop. And I need to buy that before the eShop closes. And I also want to buy Pokemon Snap on there because it was released on the Wii U eShop, the Virtual Console. And I for some reason I never bought it, but I want to buy it before it closes. So there's these three games that I need to buy whenever they decide to pull the plug on it. But yeah. That's another system. My son actually wanted to play it. He was curious. So I put it. I didn't set it up on the TV. I just put it on the wall and they made it play with the gamepad. And he played it for like 2 minutes. same thing with the Vita. He wanted to play the Vita for some reason. And then 2 minutes later, he was like, no. He was back on Mario Maker and Super Meat Boy and all that glorious stuff.
How old is he now?
He's 6.
Oh,
the other one is
God.
4. Yeah, they're 6 and 4 now.
My God, he's almost your age.
He's catching up. Yes. About mentally, he's about the same as me. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, exactly. Wow, man. God, time flies. It's totally bonkers. And I'm going to be really curious to see what happens. But I think the next couple of years are going to be very, very interesting. I think with COVID, I think it really screwed up this generation big time. Like, the fact that you still cannot go and buy these new consoles is ridiculous to me. You know, it's been half a year and you still can't just go and buy them. Like, so I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this generation. Like, I don't know. I find it nuts because, like, you know, there's all these rumors of like a Switch Pro or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, it's pretty much like I think that's going to happen by the end of the year. I think that going to be their.
Are we even going to be able to get one?
Yeah, that's true. That might be the problem. But Nintendo has been able to keep the Switch supply pretty good. Apparently, like computer parts are very, very hard to come by right now. They've still been able to, and even like. I don't know if you know this, but even automobile parts, like the truck that I use for deliveries has been in the shop for like 3 weeks now, and I'm using a rental, and they're waiting on a part, it's back ordered, and they have no idea when it's going to arrive. And apparently, like in the greater, the GTA area, like parts are very rare right now. So COVID is affecting everything, but...
Everything.
So yeah, that might delay the Switch... Pro, everybody's naming it the Switch Pro. I think they're going to call it the new Nintendo Switch because they love using the new word for some reason.
Oh, God, but, man, that is the worst. Like, oh, anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So,
I hate that title.
Yeah, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If they release a new Switch, like not like the next Switch, but like just a remodel, it's going to be called the new, like, you know, it is. And, it's funny because nobody calls it that. And I was on a popular YouTuber channel when he was talking about this. And everybody was giving it names in the YouTube comments, and I just said, you know, they're gonna call this the new Nintendo Switch, right? And then that, I swear to God, I have like 1,000 likes on that post.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like nobody clicked this, but I'm like, dude, it's obvious. This is what's gonna call it. They just released Pokemon Snap 2 like 21 years after the original. And instead of calling it Pokemon Snap 2, they called it New Pokemon Snap. And they have this new Super Mario Brothers series that I hate the name, the new Nintendo 2DS. It's like, this name sucks, but they keep using it for some reason. I don't know why. I guess they don't want to put a 2 in titles or whatever because people who didn't play the original might be intimidated by it, but who knows?
Yeah, well, no, but it's like every technology company, right, has their like spin. Xbox has the X, right? Like whatever the hell. It was Xbox One X, yeah. And then there was the Xbox Series X and the Series S and all this crap. Yeah. iPhone has the iPhone, and then S, I think, is their model. And so for Nintendo, instead of like it being the Nintendo Switch N or something like that, they just call it new. and that's it. They're like, we're going to blow your mind.
Yeah, it must be so like confusing for parents. Like,
oh man.
Like they probably would come, yeah, for me. Because they would go to the clerk and ask for a new Nintendo Switch, and then the clerk would be like, which one? And they would like, what? Nintendo Switch. Like,
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't sell used Nintendo Switches. They're all new Nintendo Switches.
Yeah, actually, when like Super Mario 3D World, when that was released for the Switch, February, I went to the store to get it to play with my sons. And there was the guy had two PlayStation 5s right there. He told me about it. He had two PlayStation, I think they were gone by the end of the week, but it was like, the old me would have jumped on it, but it's like, what am I going to do with that? Like, I barely play. I don't play games anymore. I only play one series. So it's like, why spend like $500 or $600 on a machine I'm going to use for Netflix? I already have one that does a job. But when Last of Us 3, maybe then, but yeah.
For me, honestly, right now, the one thing, like, I don't even understand. It doesn't even feel like a new generation to me, if I'm being totally honest. But I'm out of it.
Yeah, you're not playing.
Fair, I'm really... Yeah, exactly. It's just that, what is there to play? Or am I on crack?
No, you're not on crack for the PlayStation. Like, even, like, on Colin, they keep saying, like, there's no reason to buy a PlayStation 5 if you have a PlayStation 4 right now. Unless like you have a lot of disposable income and you have access to one, because it's true that the new games they play with better resolutions and way faster loading and all that stuff, but there's not any exclusive right now. I think the only exclusive is the remake of that PlayStation 3 game, Souls, Demon's Soul. That's it.
Yeah, because, exactly. I know they just
Ratchet and Clank will be exclusive, right? Yeah, there was something that was about to release, but Ratchet and Clank I think will be exclusive. I know Horizons won't. Horizons will be on PS4 as well.
Well, for me, Ratchet is going to be probably like my game of the year because it'll be the only one I play.
You need to go back and try Crown Tundra, though.
Believe me, man. I do, and I actually like.
Yeah, that's a game. So I can. Like, it's too bad because. It's really, really fun DLC, and there's a mode there. And I know you and I used to do a lot of raid battles before, and there's a new way to do those that is just amazing. We would love to get her. But there's also like four or five. No, I think there's more than that. There's six new Pokemon that the only way for you to get them is to play those games for your complete decks and home and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
there's
a lot of stuff that you missed out on, but missed out. Well, you still have. It's not like. Like there's a deadline, but yeah, it's cool
stuff.
Well,
there is a deadline with Nintendo. We just don't know when it is.
No, but they're on your system, and it's like what they did with Mario on the 1st of April when they all the Mario games are now out. Like Mario 3D All Star is no longer available to download. Same with Super Mario 35. You can't, even if you have it on your system, you can't play it anymore. It's a weird way to celebrate Mario's 35th anniversary, but what do I know?
Exactly.
And I was wrong. I thought they had a plan with that, and their plan was to re-release these games individually or something, but...
Yeah, that's what you said, but and you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong, because they have not said anything.
You're always wrong, so that's okay.
Usually, yeah, that's true.
Well, this was great, man. Thanks for this. I really enjoyed this podcast. I'm just looking at the time, and unless you have more subjects, we're good to go.
Yeah, no, I'm all done, so I'll let you do the finishing touch.
Oh, God, that's terrible for me to do the finishing touch. Well, I'll just say this, because I'm not going to promise anything. I'm just going to say that I really enjoyed this. It was nice to catch up. And let's hope Tim puts this together quickly for all of you guys. And we'll see you next time. So take care, everyone.